Kenny. Ce qu'il fallait.
This is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, TPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're listening on the SNS Network. Stay tuned or you will feel bang!
Big Daddy Cool, Diesel, / Kevin Nash. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, and you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
The Pro Wrestling Ringwalk.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
I really don't care if you agree with me or not. This is the truth.
That's called the power, brother.
And back here yet again on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, right here on the SNS Radio Network. I am the Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella. Good evening, everyone. And guess what? I will only be semi-alone tonight because in the second segment at the top of the hour, bringing it via satellite, the Power Andy Knowles will be joining me to give his opinions on what has been going on the last few weeks in pro wrestling. And believe me, knowing Andy, it should be quite, quite interesting. So, coming off the heels of the pay-per-view, and of course, Monday Night Raw, I'm going to start off by breaking into some recent news that's been posted on the internet. This story isn't exactly new, but there has been some things added to it. It was a big oops for the WWE creative team when on Raw, John Laurinaitis. If you didn't catch that, that was John Laurinaitis announced that he hired the Big Show on Saturday, one day before the pay-per-view. The stipulation for the match was that if any WWE superstar or diva, now I don't remember hearing that, interfered in the match, he or she would be fired. And the lack of continuity in the storyline raised some eyebrows as most fans caught on to the mistake. WWE.com has a video of John Laurinaitis being interviewed backstage at Raw and said that he and Big Show agreed in principle on Saturday night but did not sign until after the pay-per-view was over at, now this is great, 11:02 p.m. Yep. 2 minutes after the pay-per-view went off the air, the contract signing was finalized. And for those of you who may not have caught this, it was on WWE.com's YouTube page. Check it out. Here is John Laurinaitis' flub and his explanation.
I'd like to introduce to you the man who this past Saturday I rehired and actually gave a great bonus to. A man that in 4 weeks, John, you face at a pay-per-view called No Way Out. That's right, John. The man who knocked you out, The Big Show.
Mr. Laurinaitis, on Raw you said that you rehired Big Show on Saturday. Wouldn't that mean he'd be terminated for interfering in your match Over the Limit on Sunday?
Come on, guys. In principle, Big Show and I had an agreement on Saturday. We didn't actually put pen to paper until after the pay-per-view on Sunday night at 11:02. Okay? I gotta go, guys. Thank you, though.
Ah, the artful dodger. So there you go, WWE covering its tracks. You know, mistakes happen. It makes me wonder whose mistake that was, if it was Laurinaitis's, if it was creative, if it was writing, but definitely a boo-boo in the WWE. Some people have said that there may be more to this, that Triple H may be able to use this as ammunition. I'm not sure. I really don't know if they'll continue with this or if they'll just pretend that it never happened, because WWE's good at that. We all know that. You know, the things that embarrass them, we're supposed to forget about. You know, forget about fixing it. Let's just brush it under the carpet and not talk about it again. I'm interested to see what they'll do. It's been announced at the next pay-per-view that John Cena will be wrestling the Big Show. So thank God, thank Jesus, we will not have to see Cena Laurinaitis at least immediately, because quite frankly, that was the low point of this pay-per-view. The rest of it was pretty damn good, I have to say, but Laurinaitis Cena just sucked the life out of me, sucked the life out of you, sucked the life out of the entire company. It was just, it was bad, but I digress. Interesting story, according to the PW Insider, there was generally a positive reaction within WWE as to where the storylines were headed immediately following WrestleMania 28. Many within the company liked where WWE was going with the likes of Brock Lesnar returning, but it seems many of the positive feelings have gone away as of late. It's being said that many feel WWE is back to having no solid direction as to where they're going long term. Now, I don't know who this many is. People in the WWE should be smart enough. The wrestlers should know you don't go online and criticize the company. But I agree. I agree. After WrestleMania, it seemed like we had some, you know, some positive things going on with Lesnar coming back. But I'll tell you right now, as of the past few weeks, the last two Monday Night Raws to me were kind of stale. Just, you know, the same thing, Laurinaitis, Cena, things that don't make sense. Chris Jericho coming out, you know, attacking Randy Orton, which is another match that was announced for the next pay-per-view, will be Randy Orton versus Chris Jericho. And who do you think's going to go over? Does Jericho's losing streak end? Well, with rumors of him leaving the company, I doubt it. I have a feeling he's going to job to Randy Orton yet again. I mean, Jericho, I just don't know, man. I don't know what's up with Chris Jericho. I think, and, you know, I was running this through my mind today, which is never a good thing. But I was thinking that the reason he hasn't gotten a push is obvious. They know he's not going to stay around. He's going to be gone again, recording music with Fozzy. And, you know, in another year or two, when he needs the money, he's going to be coming back. Now, I'm not criticizing Jericho. I understand if the guy wants to make a living doing something else, that's fine. The Rock's doing it. Many other guys have done it. My problem is they bring him back to be this be-all, end-all, you know, guy who's going to change the face of the company. I mean, that's almost how they made it out. You had those videos, which now don't make sense, and he hasn't won a match, to my knowledge, since he came back. If he has, I've forgotten about it, which isn't a good thing. So what will become of Chris Jericho? Will he possibly get a victory over Randy Orton? I doubt it. Another story, Mike Johnson, and to preface this, those of you, including myself, who are getting excited about this, well, wah, wah, wah. Mike Johnson of PWIinsider.com is reporting that the WWE Revolution campaign that is on WWE.com is not for a new character that will debut with the company. Instead of a new character, it appears that the campaign is being used for the release of the new WWE 13 video game that is set to be released in October. The reason they are putting together this video is because of the E3 video game convention that is being held in early June. Many reports and speculation that this video would lead to a debut of a superstar is false. A video screenshot earlier looked to be the face of Matt Morgan, former TNA superstar who was rumored to wanting to return to the WWE. This does not appear to be the case anymore. Man, I hope not. You know, I would hope that Matt Morgan, he's just better utilized in TNA. I mean, when he was in the WWE, he was cast as just, he was so poorly utilized. I think Matt Morgan should keep his behind in TNA where it belongs, unless the WWE is offering you a ridiculous amount of money. And I mean ridiculous amount of money to go back and possibly be totally humiliated again. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if he did go to the WWE, you know, they'd use him. He's established now a little bit more. He's nowhere near as green as he used to be. So, you know, if he does come back, I wonder what kind of storyline they could put him in. He's a big guy, not, you know, real, real buff, not, you know, a roid rage type looking guy. But I think Matt Morgan has a lot to offer in the WWE if he does decide to come back. But we shall see. Now, something I wanted to allude to, and I'm not going to go into detail on this because you can hear this detail on another radio show, which I will tell you about in a moment. WWE.com the other day released the top 50 superstars in TNA wrestling. Excuse me, WCW wrestling. And the list included 50 superstars from, I believe it was 1998 until the 1988 until the company went out of business. If you haven't heard Wrestling News Live from this past Monday night, I would strongly, strongly recommend you head over to snsradionetwork.com and download the archive, because in the last segment of the show, JJ and the Trey Dog broke down this top 50 WCW list in great, great detail. I do not plan on going over the list again. Check out the archive. But I'm going to put two names out that kind of really ticked me off. One much more than the other. Number 48 on this list. Now, mind you, the top 50 most basically important people in WCW, the top 50 people that just stood among all others, and number 48 was Dennis green-haired, wine-swigging freaking Rodman. Really? Really? Dennis Rodman? I would have accepted Glacier in that spot. I would have even accepted and prepare to be shocked, David Arquette. Yes, that's right. I would have been happier with Arquette in the 48 position. At least, even though it was a spit in the face to every wrestling fan alive. Hell, at least he won a title. Rodman was there for a cup of coffee in an asinine feud with the NWO. And then they even brought in Karl Malone. Well, if Rodman's there, why's not Malone there? The lowest of jobbers in WCW, I would have accepted over Dennis Rodman. I don't even know how to continue. The fact that he's on that list, and 50 sounds like a lot, but if you look at the guys who have walked in and out of the doors of WCW in the past, anyone, the janitor, the guy who cleaned up vomit in the bathrooms at WCW venues, I would have accepted them over Dennis Rodman. That's just absolute, as my partner would say, asininity. The next person on this list who really grinded my gears, number 25, Eric Bischoff. Now, don't get me wrong. Does Bischoff belong on the list? Absolutely. Absolutely. Eric Bischoff belongs on that list, and I will defend that statement till the end of time. Whether you count him on screen, whether you count him backstage, Eric Bischoff was a revolutionary, and he did take that company to levels that I don't think any other human being could have taken it to. But, and again, I'm not as angry about this one as I am about the last one. 25 is a bit high. If Eric would have been between 40 and 45, I could have lived with it. But I think there are so many other guys who were below Bischoff. And again, check out Wrestling News Live. Who would have been more deserving to take this spot? I could have even seen Goldberg in 25 rather than Bischoff. The rest of the list was rather interesting. I agreed with the majority of it, I must say. I disagreed with a lot of it, though, as well. But these two were the ones that really, really pissed off the Bronx Father. Ric Flair looks to be leaving TNA. We've covered this before, but according to a source within TNA, a major issue which led to tension between Ric Flair and TNA and could potentially be one reason why Flair left the company was the handling of the Gut Check segment on Impact featuring Alex Silva. We've learned that Flair went off the script when he chose Silva as the winner, which is now causing issues for TNA, as not only did Flair go into business for himself, but Silva is from Quebec, requiring TNA to spend more time and money getting him a U.S. visa if they want to use him with any amount of regularity. Bottom line, Flair's done. He's done with TNA. I don't have a problem with him being done with TNA. He hasn't been on TNA television all that much. I just, you know, I don't know. How long is this guy going to keep working till? You know, I mean, dude, at some point, don't you want to retire? You know, I could see him going back to the WWE, being put in a backstage role, possibly, as far as him being put on live TV in any role other than a manager putting someone over, you know, I'll take Ric Flair any way they give him, but in the ring. I don't want to see him in the ring anymore. You know, he's one of the greatest of all time. I'll be the first to say that. I will never, ever minimize what Ric Flair has done for almost every wrestling company out there. But seeing him in the ring at this point is, it's embarrassing. It is. And I think the reason he's had to go this long is just because he didn't take care of his finances. And that's the bottom line, because Bronx Father says so. It looks like the event the WWE has scheduled in, I'm going to butcher this, Sao Paulo, Brazil, I believe, may be in some trouble. Wrestlers having trouble with their flights. Chris Jericho, I Am Jericho, tweets, flight to Sao Paulo canceled. Mad scramble to find a place to stay tonight. Status of show unknown. Sorry, everybody. We'll keep you posted. Well, Jericho can feel right at home as long as he's sleeping under street lights because he's so used to staring at the lights in the ceilings of the arenas as he's being pinned. CM Punk tweeted, flight canceled. Everything just went sideways. Sorry, San Paulo. We're working on it. Keep you posted. So, bad luck to the guys down in Brazil. Looks like this event isn't going to happen. Or if it is going to happen, it's going to have to happen with a abbreviated roster. But, you know, getting back to what I spoke of earlier, getting back to talking about the direction of the WWE, because I think that story warrants a bit more talk. You know, there are so many stories in the WWE that right now seem stalled. That's the word I'll use, stalled. One of them being, you know, guys like Dolph Ziggler and Swagger. These are two guys who seem to be stuck in limbo. I don't know what's going on. These are probably two, I believe, of the most talented guys that you have on the roster, in Dolph Ziggler and Swagger. And it seems like Vicky was a good idea at the beginning. But now it seems that Vicky is just bringing them, holding them down. I don't understand why they don't have a split here. We've mentioned this many, many times before. And I just wanted to bring it up yet again because I see so much potential in these guys. And I know I'm going to get the Zigs and Swags jokes because that's what I've dubbed them, Zigs and Swags, to the delight of some hosts on this network. But I'm hoping that they move on with them. I'm hoping that they move on with Jericho, you know, just totally job him out, do an injury angle. If he's not going to stay, get him off my TV. You know, John Laurinaitis, time for a change. Let's do something different. I hoped so much that that angle that we spoke of was going to be a bunch of faces coming in to kick Laurinaitis' rear end. And now we find out it's just an internet campaign. I don't know. To me, the last 2 weeks of Raw and the last 2 weeks of the WWE have just, I don't know, been a little boring. You know, the last 2 weeks, I wasn't able to give either episode of Raw a good letter grade. I'm telling you, fellas, I'm going to start checking out SmackDown more regularly just because of my schedule, just because of habit. I haven't been checking out SmackDown a lot, But I'm ready to give it a shot because Raw to me, and now Raw going to 3 hours at the beginning of the summer, I don't know how they're going to fill that content. 1 hour is said to be interactive, probably something like Taboo Tuesday, where fans will be able to supposedly, quote unquote, make matches. But I don't know. I just think that the summer months are kind of bleh for WWE. With that being said, I'm going to bring up one final story before the break and before, hopefully, the power Andy Knowles joins me on the air. If you don't know, today is the 13-year anniversary of the passing of Owen Hart, that tragic accident that every wrestling fan knows about. And I just was thinking about it today, and Bret Hart tweeted about Owen and the anniversary of his passing, and he said, "A most solemn day. It's so hard not to feel the blood thicken in my heart at the memory of Owen's passing today." So at the before we go to commercial, I'd like to play for you a little something I put together. This is a little 5-minute tribute to Owen. And I think listening to all the clips of what wrestlers had to say about Owen, the most touching and relevant to me were the words of Jeff Jarrett. The two of them were really great friends. They were teammates for a while. Hell, I believe they were even enemies for a while. But his words really touched me. And 13 years, I was telling our producer extraordinaire, Brass Eye, before we went on the air, that 13 years, I feel old. I mean, it doesn't seem that long. 1999, really. But with that being said, here's a little tribute, which I hope is appropriate, to the late, great Owen Hart.
Of acquaintances, but
and I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, audio troubles on my end. I don't know what to tell you. I'm gonna restart that. My deepest apologies. I'm fired.
In this business, I guess you got a lot of acquaintances, but very few friends. And Owen, he was one of those friends. And there's a lot of funny stories, his personality, the things he used to do. And I've told my wife a bunch of times over the last couple of months that I've been with Owen on the road. I see Owen more than I see her, my little girl. And he said the same thing. And now that he's not here, it's you look at it almost selfishly. That I don't have my buddy, my friend, with me anymore. I don't know. Owen's in a better place, laughing and cutting up. But when you really think about Owen's life, I think about integrity. Because in this business, it's cold, it's callous, it's selfish, it's self-serving, it's unrealistic, it's a fantasy world. But Owen was real. He was a man's man. His wife and kids. Three of the luckiest people in the world. Because he loved them more than anything in the world. And that's why he did what he did, to provide for them. And he did it with integrity. And integrity in this business is few and far between. That's not a good thing to know, but it's the truth. Fans get to see Owen 10, 15 minutes a week, but when you see him 24 hours a day for 10 and 12 days at a time, he's one of the guys that made it fun. He comes entertaining off the camera, and that's just as important as on the camera.
His words were indeed the most prophetic. I apologize for any audio problems, but when you go live, things happen, as we've seen many a time on this network. We're going to go to commercial break, and when I come back, I am going to send out the power signal. That's right. I am going to use the far-reaching arm of the Bronx Father to go to Canada, and via satellite, ladies and gentlemen, I hope to be joined by the host of this great show, The Power, Andy Knowles. I am the Bronx Father. You're listening to the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Have you been looking for wrestling radio that entertains and informs? Then make sure you tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern for the four-time People's Choice Show of the Year, Wrestling News Live, with The Trey Dog and JJ Sexay, where anything can and usually does happen. Exclusively on the SNS Radio Network. www.snsradionetwork.com. See you in chat.
What it comes down to is being the best.
We talk about mind games, you talk about physicality.
The game!
Look for the Authentic Wear label on the shirt. Here comes the rain. Sold only at WWEshop.com and at all WWE live events.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
When I caught SmackDown again. I caught Skip Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlocksAndLines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me. It's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey guys, it's Rima Fatih.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Standing ovation here. Let's go to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled to take you back in time. Host, ring announcer Sean Beckerman brings you pro wrestling nostalgia featuring classic moments and old school themes. So buckle up and go beyond the bell each and every week on the SNS Radio Network. It's go time.
Hey everybody, it's Jerry Crisco. I'm on this fantastic program, Pro Wrestling Rewind. You too can listen and participate. All you gotta do is go to the website to the SNS Network.
Back one more time around in the Pro Wrestling Rewind here on the SNS Radio Network. The Power, Andy Knowles, coming in from the PWR Western Command. Gibson's British Columbia, beautiful Sunshine Coast back. Glad to be back with you. Christian coming out of nowhere this past weekend, winning the Intercontinental Championship. A huge news. Christian, the most underrated wrestler in the WWE right now. What does this say for the Intercontinental Championship? The Bleacher Report reporting this past week. David Levin, a feature columnist on Bleacher Report T, coming out and saying, so much to do, so much to see, so much to say. Aren't we all glad Christian is back in the WWE? The veteran's presence at Over the Limit, first by winning the Battle Royal and then forging a battle with Cody Rhodes and claiming the Intercontinental title, was a stroke of awesomeness. And again, Christian is a major player in the WWE. Of all the superstars we watch on a weekly basis, maybe it was Christian who is the most underrated and important to the success of the WWE in the future. And while it may seem a little far-fetched, Christian's place in the company is key, maybe more so than a John Cena or CM Punk. But the reasons are far more internal than one may think. As a fan of the performer in the ring, whether he is winning the fans' approval as a favorite or as a lead heel, Christian is everything the WWE needs, and the reasons why at BleacherReport.com. I'm not going to go into them, but the fact of the matter is, Christian had been languishing in relative obscurity going into this pay-per-view. Battle Royal, this was a fabulous pay-per-view, T, in my opinion. A fabulous pay-per-view. Christian winning the opportunity to go after the U.S. or Intercontinental Championship, points at Santino, changes his mind, goes after Cody Rhodes, caught, and I didn't see this. I don't think anybody saw this. Christian coming out of nowhere to win the Intercontinental Championship. The Intercontinental Championship now, in its past four title runs, has seen a dramatic improvement in its ability to draw fans into the title trophy. Your thoughts?
Well, if they don't screw him over again, I mean, if you remember the last time he won the WWE title, he lost it, what, in one night? You know, as long as they do the right thing, I have no problem. Other than Cody Rhodes, I don't have any problem with Christian holding that title. I think I never really thought that the world title suited him. I just don't know why. But the IC belt, he can really bring prestige back to that title. I'm all for it. I agree with you. I think it's a great, great thing that Christian has the IC title.
It may have been a situation where WWE Creative realized they had made an error by doing what they did, taking the world title off. And really, let's face it, I mean, this is not the same Intercontinental Championship title that we have been dealing with in the Attitude Era. This is a regenerated Intercontinental Championship. Cody Rhodes needs to be given a lot of credit here for what he has done in bringing this belt back to prominence. Now, I would not be at all surprised to see Christian drop the belt back to Cody Rhodes here in the next few months.
If it's in the next few months, you know, if it's not a deal where at the next pay-per-view he drops it, you know, that would really get under my skin. I think what happened was that night when Vince McMahon and Christian were in the ring together, if you remember, and the crowd went nuts, and Vince McMahon looked like, really? He pulled a Miz, really? And I think they're starting to realize that the guy's marketable and, you know, definitely let's see what they do with him. You know, he hasn't really even spoke. He spoke on Raw.
Congratulations. You won.
But, you know, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I hope they do the right thing. I don't know what that was.
I have absolutely no idea what it was either. Apparently we won something. What did we win?
Anybody know. Tell
us what we won?
Well, send us a check.
Yeah, whoever it is, please send us a check. I just we want something. Well, it's all sorts of fun here at the Western Command. I don't get out here anywhere near as often as I would like. I've had an absolutely great week. Spent the first weekend in Vancouver. Got to do a lot of running around. Have done a lot of shopping. Of course, Mama Power with me as well. We are running the tour in my hometown. Tonight, Gibson's, British Columbia, home of the Beachcombers, a mainstay on CBC television during the late 70s and 80s, all the way up until 1990, got an opportunity to reconnect with a lot of great people. It's also a great opportunity if you've never had the opportunity to go back to your hometown. It's always great to go back and just see how much things have changed and find a way to sort of get back to your center, as it were. And that happens a lot in professional wrestling. You hear a lot wrestlers who need to take who need to take time off. Of course, we saw Johnny Ace, one half of the Dynamic Dudes, taking out John Cena. And you want to talk about a man who is on the absolute worst run of his career. And is John Cena at this point? How does John Cena? I know I'm just coming to you here in the second hour, but the question that fans really need to be asking themselves is, can John Cena recover from this string, this really bad string? I'm sorry, but the Brock Lesnar thing, even though he won, he really needed to beat Johnny Ace to really get that string going, and winning against a Brock Lesnar and losing against a Johnny Ace, that's a bad thing. Interference notwithstanding, that's still a bad thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, he needs to have a losing streak, I think. I mean, he did win at the previous pay-per-view, but I think he needs to have this. I think he needs to be shown that he's vulnerable, because, you know, everyone's calling him Superman. Everyone that's been their bone of contention, if you will, with John Cena is that he overcomes all the odds, and now the odds are stacked against him. What I like, though, was Monday night. I like the solidarity between the the faces coming out and helping him when he was getting his butt handed to him, him and the great White Hope, Sheamus.
Yeah, and that's good to see. We're not seeing enough of that solidarity now. And it goes back to that level of intimacy that this sport has really gone away from, and we've never really understood it. We know, once again, what we're watching. We know it's as choreographed as a five-year-old ballet, yet when you are seeing your favorites getting the tar knocked out of them, where is everybody in the back room? That was definitely great to see. You know, somebody else who's having a problem right now is Zack Ryder. Once again, Bleacher's Report, feature column of CIM coming out this past week. Did you get a chance to read this?
No, I missed this one.
You missed this one?
Yeah.
Five reasons. And this caught me. This really jumped out at me this week. Five reasons why Zack Ryder's career may be finished.
Ooh.
Zack Ryder, according to CIM, has lived the ultimate Cinderella story, from landing a WWE contract to being a faction with a world champion to WWE's doghouse. Yet he managed to pull himself up from the rubble and found new life through the use of social media. Ryder is proof that with hard work and perseverance, you can live the American dream. Sadly, his dream of continued success in the WWE seems to be fading. As he went from being in the mid-card pitcher to U.S. champ back to good old-fashioned jobber in the end, Ryder should have no regrets when it comes to his WWE career. However, it appears his WWE tenure may be in jeopardy, especially since he has not been receiving any sort of push from the WWE as of late. Ultimately, this one-time fan favorite seems to be fading fast. His latest loss to Kane at Over the Limit, it appears there may be no hope left for everybody's for everybody's favorite jobber. It's funny when you look at this. He has the feud with Kane. He never really recovered from the Eve betrayal or the Kane squash. He hasn't won a match since. Loss after loss, this man is. You think John Cena's on a bad track? You got to see what has this man done? He is, according to the Bleacher Report, he is the modern day Brooklyn Brawler. You can appreciate this team, love it or hate it. With the exception of the title run, Zack Ryder is today's Brooklyn Brawler. He is good enough to land matches on Raw, SmackDown, and scatter pay per views, but he's not good enough to keep a winning streak alive. Ryder's fan appeal is the only other difference between he and the Brawler, which as of late has been detrimental to his career. Point number three, he is slowly becoming irrelevant. CIM writes, at one point in Ryder's career, there would be woo, 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 and we want Ryder chants throughout the building. Many of these chants overshadowed several matches and even gained recognition from John Cena during an episode of Raw. Sadly, those chants are going by the wayside in favor of main eventers like Daniel Bryan and his yes, yes, yes chants. If this continues to happen, it won't be long before we see Ryder on WWE Superstars.
Wow.
Number four, the Z True Long Island Story, which I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen one. I have not seen one of these. Now that the WWE has the rights to this show, it's become a bit stale. The once edgy and groundbreaking show has become watered down and is now subject to WWE's editing. Sadly, the creator of the show no longer has full control of its content. Over the past year, Ryder has openly admitted this show cost him a lot of time and money. To me, it's a small price to pay for the platform that boosted your career. Number five, no storyline. Zack Ryder being involved in several matches as of late. However, he has lost a lot of steam due to the lack of storylines involving his character. And let's face it, fans can't really pull for someone who is fighting and losing in random matches. I have to agree with every single point that CIM brings to the table on this. So I'll come back to you on this, T. When you take a look at Zack Ryder, is he fundamentally done? Is he a release just waiting to happen at this point?
I don't know. You know, him having to sign over that show, that's going to be a killer because that show is what got him over. And if you can go back and watch a few of the episodes that he did, you know, prior to WWE controlling that show, they were pretty darn entertaining. I mean, I enjoyed it. I haven't seen them all. I'm not going to say I catch every one when it comes out. I catch them when I have time. But he's a talented guy on the mic. I don't think he's that bad in the ring. I think he's pretty damn good. But I'll agree with everything in that report. His, you know, he has definitely fallen from grace. I mean, just, I can't argue with any of that. I mean, I like Zack Ryder, but first of all, putting him with Kane was a mistake. Okay, no one's going to believe him beating Kane, even if he did squeak out a victory. So when you put a guy who, for all intents and purposes, is a middleweight, and you start feuding him with a guy like Kane, and then the whole crap they did with him and Eve, yeah, I kind of think that it's not his fault, but I'll agree with everything in that report.
I was a little dismayed during the pay-per-view to see what transpired in the Layla Beth Phoenix Divas Championship match. And I'll be very honest with you. I thought for sure this was going to be a situation by which Layla returned. She's given the title to elevate her status, a JJ Sexay school of booking technique. And then she drops the title back to Beth Phoenix. And I was shocked to not see Beth Phoenix come out of this past pay-per-view with the title. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't know where, you know, Layla came from, just as far as her just coming right back and being given the title. You know, I've never agreed with that. I have someone who I've discussed this with that I hate when somebody either comes back or just gets introduced into the company and is immediately given a title. What happened back in the day to where you had to build up? Remember what they used to call it, Andy? You know this one. Climb that ladder.
Absolutely.
You know, that'd be like, you know, me retiring for 5 years and then coming back and being, you know, the highest paid person or being rewarded. Yeah. I don't know what's up with that, but I did hear and read that Karma is ready. She's ready to come back, my friend, and I think that that's going to light a fire under everyone's rear end in the women's division.
Karma, Beth Phoenix needed to win this championship to go into a future opportunity with Karma. Nobody here wants to see Karma squash Layla. Nobody does. Nobody wants to see Karma squash any of the other divas. If the WWE truly listens, and creative truly listens to the WWE universe, quote unquote, then they need to give them the fans the match that they want to see, which is Karma, who, like I said, is a true inspiration in every sense of the word with what this woman has gone through. This is the woman that fights for those who can't fight for themselves, the woman who can't fight for, who fights for the unborn, to now take the opportunity to go toe-to-toe against Beth Phoenix. And if that isn't a women's match of the year candidate, I don't know what is.
Yeah, Beth is one of the few women there that I think can actually give a good match to Karma. Her and, of course, Natty Neidhart, I think, would also be able to give a great match to Karma. But she's really another one who's, you want to talk about Zack Ryder. You know, she's another one with this whole flatulence gimmick. Thank God. Thank Jesus, as you would say.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God that they have, you know, kind of backed off on that now with that whole farting thing. I mean, that just was humiliating. I really hope that they kind of back off on that. And it looks like they have. But can you imagine a triple threat? Karma, Beth Phoenix, and Natty. Now, that's a match I wouldn't mind seeing.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. If you were to have a situation where you would have your three top female wrestlers going at it for the Divas Championship, That's not a match which starts off a pay-per-view. That is a semi-event of incredible magnitude. And once again, I'm sorry, but I don't trust creative on this, but creative will find a way to screw this up. Putting the title back on Layla. Hey, look, everybody, Layla's back. Okay, great. That's that. I hate that style of booking. I always have. If that's what you need to do to bring Layla back relevant, then go ahead. But let's face it. Beth Phoenix is your dominant diva right now, even if she does have a hurt foot. She doesn't need a foot. That's a great – you know, you could cast her up, and she could go to the ring, and she could still squash every single diva on there. But let's face it. Everybody wants to see the big event, Karma versus Beth Phoenix. And that match in and of itself could really – if it was done properly, gone 15 to 20 minutes, I want to see Karma. What I really want to see is I want to see Karma really work for it. I want Beth to come back hard from everything that Karma gives her and really make Karma earn the win. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, and Beth could do it, no doubt. And the thing is, I think it's in their best interests, if this match does ever happen, to keep Beth heel. Because I'm telling you right now, there's no way to hide this. When Kia Stevens comes back, she is going to be a face. And if the creative doesn't want to make her a face, the fans will. So I think they'd be hard-pressed to, you know, keep Beth a heel. As a matter of fact, if Karma's not coming back immediately, by that I mean within the next month, mm-hmm. Make Beth a little more vicious. You know, you got plenty of expendable divas. I hate to say that, but you do. Let Beth take one or two of them out. This gal's injured for a month because Beth messed her up real bad. Push Beth. Have her run roughshod through the women's division. And then, finally, when she's on top of her high horse, that awesome, which, by the way, I love Karma's theme song. It's awesome. You hit that theme song, everyone's going to recognize it after the second chord and have Karma come out and basically say, you forgot about me.
Speaking of the divas, did you see this report on Headlock to Headlines that came through today? A writer who had basically come out and said the WWE is barely above pornography.
What?
Joshua Fisher of the Darien Times said that the WWE was a product that is barely above pornography. Chris Kelly posted on Headlocks to Headlines today. The WWE sent out the following open letter. Dear Mr. Fisher, we are writing regarding your column that appeared in the Darien Times on May 17th, 2012, where you state that the WWE is a product barely above pornography. Although this was an opinion piece, your position as editor of the Darien Times would ethically require you to report the facts accurately and not distort the truth. I love how the WWE talks about reporting facts and not distorting the truth. Okay, just keep that in the back of your mind. For future editorials and news stories that may pertain to the WWE, we wanted you to be aware of the facts so you clearly understand our programming content and type of entertainment we provide to our more than 300,000 fans in the state of Connecticut and around the world. All WWE television programming features only TVPG content as rated not by us, but by the network TV distributors and their standards and practices departments. The WWE weekly programming has always appeared on basic cable or broadcast television. As any casual television viewer knows, your description of our programming based on the Federal Communications Commission rules alone would not be permitted on broadcast television or basic cable. The WWE is family entertainment. In fact, 40% of the millions of fans who attend our live events bring their children. It's insulting to these parents to think that they would condone their children watching inappropriate content. The WWE may not be your personal choice of entertainment, but that does not give you the right to damage our corporate reputation. On behalf of the WWE, its 690 employees and our fans in Connecticut, we would appreciate it if you would stick to factual statements about our organization and brand. For more information on our company, please go to corporatewwe.com and feel free to reach out to us for the facts in advance of any articles you write relating to the WWE. Sincerely, Brian Flynn, Senior Vice President for Marketing and Communications.
Well, if that statement had been made during the Attitude Era, comparing it to porn, I would have agreed.
Absolutely.
But now, no, I don't think that's fair. I'll be honest with you. I don't think that's fair. I mean, they have toned it down quite a bit. You know, it's to the point where, yeah, maybe there's a spot or two where you cover your kid's eyes and say, don't watch this, but not like the attitude there. I mean, you as a man with children, I'm sure you feel a lot more comfortable letting them watch it now than you did back in the Attitude Era.
Oh, absolutely. My children would not have. I mean, Sable coming out with two little hand stickers on her breasts. I mean, you know, you had, Kelly Kelly. Even back when Kelly Kelly first came out and she was a stripper. I mean, there's a lot of things that I would not want my children to watch now. But once again, it becomes incumbent upon the parents to decide what is and what isn't appropriate. So for somebody like this gentleman to come out and write above pornography, I thought was a little bit over the top.
Well, I mean, they've always had WWE / WWF will always have their detractors. You had that imbecile Brent Bozell III back in the day who came out and wanted to blame every death that occurred because of any type of physical contact on the WWE. And Mick Foley did an awesome job in his book of defending that, I thought. But, I mean, that statement now, you know, like I said, 10 years ago, yeah, I would have agreed 100%. Now, nah. I mean, come on. This is a guy who just wants to get his name out there, please.
The WWE also posting today on headlocks2headlines.com. The WWE is looking at doing a radio show. Apparently, this is going to be so biased against the WWE that this is pathetic. Chris Kelly posted on Headlocks that the WWE sent out a survey. What is your age? Gave the ages. What is your gender? What ways do you listen to radio, including satellite, XM, AM, FM? I don't listen. What else we got? Bear with me just 2 seconds here. I'm just going through this. Male, female, please select the ways you listen. Satellite radio. I don't listen to radio at all. Here it is right here. Imagine a live radio talk show produced by the WWE and hosted by a popular radio personality and a WWE legend. The Daily Show would feature the latest in WWE news, both in front of the camera and behind the scenes. Exclusive interviews and the hottest superstars and divas in the WWE. Unique recurring segments centered around the world of the WWE. And give the fans an opportunity to regularly call in and interact live with the hosts and guests. How likely would you be to listen to this radio program on standard radio? Goes on to ask a few more questions. The WWE has now decided that they need to enter our domain. They have decided that they can push. I would sign up for this. I'm sorry. If the WWE came to me and asked me to host this radio program, I would do it in a heartbeat. But the problem is they'd be kicking me off after 2 weeks because I would not follow a script. It would be very, very difficult for me to follow a script with things I like and things I don't like. So my question is, whoever they do decide to get to host this program, how much journalistic integrity are they going to lose by actually becoming a part of this program? And will they even care, because God only knows how much money they'll be making? Your thoughts.
They'll get no journalistic integrity because every show that you hear on this network, from our show to Wrestling News Live to Unplug, pick your show, we present the business to you outside of kayfabe. This whole show is going to be a bunch of it's going to be kayfabed. They wouldn't, if you offered to work for free, they wouldn't take you because they know they're going to give you a script and they're going to tell you, okay, Andy, you have to do this within storylines. And at the end of the day, to any smart fan, you're going to end up sounding like an idiot. So this is all going to be within the realm of kayfabe. If you think this is going to be a show to compare with anything you'll hear in, I would call it IWC radio, whether it's this network, whether it's any other network, it's just stupid. It's going to be a totally... Now, I'm thinking this will be terrestrial radio, but maybe not.
No, it won't be terrestrial. They will syndicate it. More than likely, what they will do is they will broadcast, or they will produce the show out of Connecticut, which makes more sense than anything else. Produce the show out of Connecticut and then sell it as a syndication, a live syndication like they do with other programs like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Ed Schultz or any of the rest of them. That's what they'll have to do here, go and sell it. From an advertising standpoint, it's great if they hit the right demographic. The only place where they can sell something like this would have to be sports radio. It's going to be very difficult to get it on a local ESPN station, which must stay within the local ESPN format. But if you get independent talk radio stations that have a sports, I'll give you an example out here in Vancouver, CKNW 980 would be the place to put something like this if it were after hours. But CKNW 980 would never put anything like this during the midday or the afternoon because they are primarily news talk. It's for the WWE looking for additional sources of revenue, it's a great idea. The question becomes, do they sell it to the radio stations, and the radio stations have to pay for it, or do they offer it to the radio stations, and the radio stations themselves pick up revenue by selling the product? The WWE picks up additional revenue by selling prime advertising on their radio program. We're gonna keep an eye on this. I'm really fascinated to see where this goes, because programs like ours, like Wrestling News Live, like Sunday Night Showdown, Unplugged, we will pick this radio apart if there is the least little bit of impropriety from a journalistic standpoint. I am not going to sit here as somebody who's been in radio for as long as I've had and have somebody go and make a mockery of my profession. If the WWE was smart, they would pick a respected member of the radio community to host this. Now, could you imagine somebody like Bubba the Love Sponge hosting this?
Oh, my God. Please don't even mention that man to me.
Oh,
please.
Bubba the Love Sponge hosting WWE.
No, it'll never happen. He's too far in bed, and his ex is too far in bed with Hulk. Okay, let's start that over. I probably shouldn't have said that. Anyway, he's too ingrained in Hulk Hogan's pocket. It would never be him. I don't know who. Can you imagine this? Now see, I'm going to do this just to get a rise out of you. Imagine Michael Cole as the host of this show.
God help us. But you know, he has experience because he and Taz hosted a show on satellite radio, a very short-lived show. There is a wrestling radio program on satellite radio. I believe it's on XM. I don't know what the program is or who the hosts are. But I do know that there is a wrestling radio program, and a very solid wrestling radio program on XM. They're going to look for a national host. You will not see a regional radio host take this program. They will look for a big name. They will look for somebody national. They will look for somebody marketable. But the problem is, as we've seen with any other broadcaster that comes into the WWE, their journalistic integrity gets flushed down the potty. It's one of the reasons why Mike Goldberg would not come over from UFC. He did not want to be associated with this. It would flush his career down the toilet. Now, there are some that have managed to survive coming out of WWE broadcasting. Jonathan Coachman is one of those names. You can also take a look at Tony Schiavone, who now does baseball down in Atlanta, as another one of those games. What's our time here? We're coming close to a break, aren't we?
Yeah, before we take a break, I want to go over something that I went over in the first segment. I actually played an audio clip of John Laurinaitis, and this is on WWE's YouTube page, where he explains, Andy, why exactly the Big Show wasn't fired. And basically what Johnny said was that they had a handshake agreement on Saturday.
Oh, God.
Sunday, the Big Show wrestles. Well, he doesn't wrestle. He interferes. And then later that night, they finalized the deal. Therefore, he was not, the Big Show, technically a WWE employee at the time he interfered, making him exempt from being fired.
Kaka poo poo.
Yeah, I kind of thought you'd say that.
Here's the situation. Big Show is, correct me if I'm wrong, Big Show was fired prior to being at this event.
Correct.
So he wasn't an employee to begin with. His interfering in the match meant nothing because he was already fired. So to have to go back and do this whole rigmarole about, well, he was fired. Now we're it doesn't matter. The WWE already shot themselves in the foot on this deal, and it really doesn't matter at this point because it's so irreparably damaged the credibility of the WWE creative team. Not that their credibility wasn't already in doubt, but it has already put a it has already added to a mystique of incompetency on the part of WWE creative. That it's one of those situations that they're probably not going to get back up from. Why the Big Show felt he needed to do this, I don't know. His character is beyond a championship belt. He transcends the need to be a heel. This one shocks me. John Cena has beaten Big Show before, so this really wouldn't be a match that would garner a lot of interest. So it's shocking to me why the WWE would go in this direction. When you look back at Over the Limit and you see what happened and the great matches we had, and you know, I was one who picked Johnny Ace to win. I did so grudgingly. The writing was on the wall, and it once again it further erodes the mystique of John Cena. And I believe that this will hurt his ability to draw, and it will also hurt his ability to sell merchandise if the WWE doesn't start giving him a solid run going forward. There's no – outside of CM Punk right now, I mean, let's face it. Outside of CM Punk, there is no super – I take that back. Outside of CM Punk and the Great White Hope, there is no super face right now.
Well – they've done that to themselves. They've done that by pushing the same guy for the last, as they're coming for me again.
They're coming for you, duck.
They, excuse me, they pushed the same guy. So, you know, you can't, the WWE, if they lose out on merch, has no one to blame but themselves. I mean, I just think, I don't know if I want to see Show and Cena again. That's going to be an advertised match at the next pay-per-view. It's been a while. I think it's fresh enough in my mind where I'll live with it if it doesn't last too long. You know what I mean? I can live with it.
It's going to be interesting here. What time is it now? I think we're going to take a break. We'll let you take the phone lines.
Absolutely. As soon as we come back from break, I'm going to open up the phone lines. And I just have to say, Andy, I'm rather upset because you said you'd never leave us again, and here you are, bringing it via satellite. I'm a bit hurt.
Well, yeah, but at least I'm not like The Rock. I'm not gonna say that I'm back and come back via satellite. Excuse me, come back via satellite every couple of weeks.
Absolutely. I know you'll be back in 2 weeks' time, and you know, I'm glad we were able to get together for this second segment. But ladies and gentlemen, we got to go to break. We'll be right back.
Let me do this. You just get ready to push the button and I'll take care of it. How about that?
Okay.
Does that work for you? All right. We've got to take a break. When we come back, the T-Man himself, the Bronx Father, will open up the phone lines. We'll take your calls. Anything that you have heard tonight that even remotely interests you, you may by all means comment on. So stand by. We'll go get him. We'll get the phone lines open. And remember, boys and girls, please take care of the energy inside yourselves. After all, that's where your true power lies. God of radio willing that the higher power lets me. I will be back in 2 weeks. T will be back right after the break to take your calls. It's the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Hey, you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday night? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday Nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W. and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Hey guys, this is Lori, the WrestleWitch champion, and you're listening to The Power, Andy Knowles on Pro Wrestling Rewind.
The T-Man. The T-Man. Really, Andy? Really? The T-Man. Okay, I am the T-Man. I've got more names than, I don't know, and I can't make jokes. It's too late. An identity theft guy, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to open up the phone lines, call in about anything you want. We're going to go about another 25, 30 minutes. 501-588-7957. That's 501-588-7957, or add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype, and you can call in that way. A little interesting debate between Andy and I, a little interesting conversation. WWE wanting to launch a radio show. Wow. You know, that took me by surprise, because when Andy mentioned that, I hadn't read that. And, you know, when he said that they're entering our domain, I think what he meant is that, you know, like I said when I spoke to Andy, we do a non-kayfabe format on this network. You know, we bring you wrestling news and wrestling information on a level that the WWE doesn't want. Don't ever, ever think that the WWE is happy that shows like this and other shows on this network, Wrestling News Live, you know, Unplugged, Sunday Night Showdown, any show, you know, they hate us. They hate us because we bring you an intelligent point of view. But with that being said, we have a phone call. Area code 209, you're live on the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Hey there, Bronx. It's Anthony.
What's up, man?
One thing, surprised you had the power come on by a satellite. If he's someone like The Rock, does that make you like John Cena?
No, I don't want to be like John Cena.
All right, but the whole comment about WWE being just barely above pornographic, oh, come on. From the guy that supposedly lives in porn country, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I mean,
Look at ECW originally. They had a girl freaking basically a strip tease just to distract the fans while a ring was getting fixed.
Well, I mean, like I said a few minutes ago, if it had been 10, 15 years ago, I would have agreed. I would have said, I mean, look, he had Trish, you know, barking like a dog. he had a lot of things going on. Back
yeah,
in
Sable taking off her shirt and just having handprints on her breast.
Mae Young
paint, but still.
Mae Young taking off her shirt, but we won't get into that. But
oh God, Bronx! I don't want to get more. I don't want to get blind like you. Jeez.
Excuse me. But
how about when the cat took off her clothes?
Well, you know, I'm the kind of guy who I criticize WWE and wrestling because of the stupidity they do in storylines and stuff like that. However, I don't care if WWE or TNA or pro wrestling is at its worst. When they come under attack by people like that who don't know a damn thing about the business, yeah, I'm going to jump into the defense. And, you know, that guy is just a total imbecile, if that's what
yeah.
he is.
Like when the unfortunate incident with Benoit, everyone's like, oh, concussions because of wrestling and all this shit. No offense, Benoit was the one who was agreeing. Oh, hit me with a chair back of my head, unprotected. So, in other words, it wasn't really their fault.
Well, I mean, I'll put it to you like this. You know, when a guy gets concussed in the NFL, they don't blame the NFL. I mean, if you look at what Michael Vick did to those animals, and if you look at some of the other things that pro, you know, sports guys have done, I mean, for God's sake, wrestling is the only quote-unquote sport where when somebody screws up, they don't blame the individual, they blame the business. And I think that's a real cop-out and totally unfair.
Yeah, definitely. And it is unfortunate that today is the anniversary of Owen Hart's death. I'm probably one of the few that still has the show that he unfortunately passed away on. I mean, it never showed him falling and hurt him in the ring when he was being attended to, but still I remember that. I'm like, oh, crap, something bad happened. You can automatically know something was bad happened.
Yeah, if you go back and you look at the, you know, the video of that pay-per-view, I remember where they just, you know, showed the crowd and, you know, thank God that video footage, if there is any, you know, was never released. You know, kudos to WWE for, you know, making sure that never got out. I mean, it's just, yeah. And in a lot of ways, I thought Owen was better than his brother in the ring. I mean, I know I'll get, you know, criticism over that. He was
denying it. Owen Hart's probably one of those guys, unfortunately, he didn't get the credit he deserved until around the end of his career when they're like going, dude, he actually was pretty good. He should have got like the title shots, world title runs and all that. I mean, look at the matches he had with Owen Hart for the European title in WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, I mean, and not only that, I thought he was a good promo guy. I thought he was better than his brother. I mean, he was a funny guy. Everyone and their mother will tell you from, you know, we heard Jeff Jarrett earlier. Mick Foley even said in his book, he was the king ribber in the business, and he had a good personality. So definitely, man, I just wanted to do a little something. You know, I think, again, like 13 years, I'm like, wow, really? I feel old.
Yeah, so do I, man. I feel old, but not like a shark who saw the first wrestling match between the cavemen, but still old.
Ouch. I can neither confirm nor deny that shark will hear that. But Anthony, I've got limited time. I'm going to let you go. And we're going to take some more calls if they are available. So thanks for calling in, man. I'll hit you up next week.
No problem. See ya.
Peace out. All right, Anthony Farley, a regular here on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. And I believe, yes, we have another call, area code 909. You're live on the Rewind.
Hey, Bronx, it's all train.
What's up, man?
I'm just calling to, you know, shoot a little wrestling talk with you. You're talking about the whole thing with Cena at the end of Raw when he got knocked out by Big Show. When I saw that, thinking back on it, that was one part where, you know, that was an unexpected moment. Like, you just see Cena get cracked right in the face, right in the forehead by Show. When I saw that, thinking on it, I kind of wish in that moment that R-Truth was still heel, because I would have loved to see him come in, look down at Cena like Smokey from Friday and go,
You're not Naka. Well, out of respect for Andy, I won't say the actual line, but maybe just put his little spin on, just look down at Cena like, you got Naka.
Well, I mean, you can say it because technically, if you look up the quote, it's F-U-G, and I believe the phrase you're looking for is, you got knocked the fuck out. Knocked the fuck out. You know, I'll take the heat for that. But Fug, F-U-G-G, look it up. Yeah. I mean, you know what else really got me about that segment? And I had mentioned this until now. I wonder, was it Cena hitting the floor? But when Sho hit him, it didn't sound right. Did you notice it was like a metallic sound almost? Like just, you know, I was yep. like.
I think that might have been a piped in sound effect from when Cena, when the punch actually happened. Because unless it was like, you know, Cena using his hand to, I don't know, smack the cement or something, or his hand hit the cement, it did sound like a loud crack kind of.
Yeah. I mean, the audio of it is what threw me off. I turned away for a second and I turned back just in time to see the Sho, you know, Big Sho throwing the punch. And I was like, damn, you know, with the sound. Another thing that would have been great, I would have loved the Sho to have gone to black with Cena laying there and Ron Simmons just walking out, looking down at him and going, damn.
That one would have worked as well, too. I didn't think of that. There was some other parts that I wanted to talk about, considering how much time is winding down. I probably won't get to everything I thought of bringing up. There was something I wanted to bring up about, I think you were talking about Jericho before.
Yes.
There's something that it crossed my mind, actually, I think while I was listening to either Wrestling News Live this Monday or the Over the Limit pay-per-view coverage. We were talking about, you know, how Jericho, you know, if you look back at his run in the past few months, pay-per-view-wise, he hasn't had a single victory in any of the pay-per-views of 2012, from Rumble, running into Extreme Rules, and now at Over the Limit. I've been trying to think back to the whole promo stuff and, you know, the whole end-of-the-world thing that's been going on with him and pretty much how his run has gone. You know, whenever we get some big promos and stuff about guys who are coming back, you know, making a big return and stuff like that, and whenever we see them come back in, you know, in the E or somewhere else, you know, they always have like some sort of a big kind of, you know, they have a big impact, you know, to where they like to have a really dominant run. Obviously, we haven't seen that a whole lot with Jericho over the past few months, and it kind of got me thinking, is this something that you think actually he's decided himself? Because when I look at it, obviously, Jericho, he hasn't had a whole lot of success on the pay-per-views, you know, the big spots where he's tried to win the belt in any of the matches he's been in. I'm kind of seeing that maybe he's doing that on purpose because he's kind of, you know, trying to give back a little bit to something we've been talking about over the past few years, and that's helping establish some of the other younger stars, like Punk or Sheamus or something like that. I mean, you think about Jericho, he's done everything in wrestling, you know, just from the first Undisputed Championship to the other world title runs he's had, you know, about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm kind of wondering if maybe he's made the decision to, in this run, kind of step back a bit and help, even if it means, you know, he's losing on some of the bigger stages, if he's losing to, you know, help build up the stars who are going to keep going even after, if he does leave during the summer. You know, if he takes off, those other stars are still there with an established record of beating someone the caliber of Jericho.
Well, if that's the case, and you know, you make a great point, I'd have no problem with that. That could be the case. It's either that or WWE knew that he wouldn't be around. I mean, look, when he signed this initial contract, he had to have said, you know, look, I'm just looking for, you know, 6 months, a year. Let me come in, help put some guys over. And I think, and I know a lot of people will disagree with me here, Jericho is at that level where he can demand that. You know, if you look at him in WCW, if you look at him in ECW, if you look at him in WWE, he's done all there is to do. So if he can get that contract like Taker, where he comes in every so often, you know, well, you know, Taker doesn't put guys over. Well, nah, he kind of does at WrestleMania. He does and he doesn't. But that type of Legends deal, I don't have a problem with that. You know, we're not privy to the backstage info that we need for us to make that opinion. But I think that if he has come back, he's being really unselfish. I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I mean, obviously we don't know exactly what's in the whole contract thing, and we don't know what else is going to happen to him heading out of 2012. I mean, with the whole thing with his Fozzy group, obviously it seems like he might be leaving during the summer to do a little bit of stuff with them. That may not mean that he's not going to come back at the end of the year, but I guess we'll see. That's pretty much it for Jericho. I did want to make a quick little comment about the whole WCW top 50 list. Obviously, we heard Trey and JJ's thoughts on it on Monday. And, yeah, I definitely disagree with the addition of Dennis Rodman and Eric Bischoff on there. I don't know what the heck they were thinking about with that. Looking at number 50, I can kind of see why they would have maybe thrown a little dig in there at placing Jeff Jarrett at that part, like making him a part of a list, but, you know, put him at the very bottom of the barrel of it. There were a few names that I wish I had seen. I know maybe not a lot of people remember this guy, but from just when I started watching wrestling, seeing him as one of the stars on there, even though he was never really one of the top guys per se, I kind of would have loved to see a little nod thrown to Prince Iaukea from back in the day. Because for some reason, I was always a big fan of his. I sure as hell did not like that artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea gimmick, which just I did Miz before there was Miz. I was like, really? Really? You went that route with him? Because I was entertained by him. I thought he was a talented guy. And I wasn't shocked that they didn't put him on the list. And when I say him, I'm referring to Benoit, obviously. But I would have probably seen him in, like, you know, high 20s, late 10s or something like that. But, yeah, obviously he wasn't going to get thrown on there. But I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, if it wasn't for what happened, I definitely could have seen that. I mean, hell, I would have even had no problem if they would have took Rodman out of there. And I'll tell you right now, people are going to laugh at me, but my stepfather actually knows him. Maybe that's why I'm a mark. And a lot of the things he did, especially with Conan, was really funny. I would have swapped Jeff Jarrett from 50 to 48. And at 50, I would have put the Disco Inferno. That's just me.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I just could never like Disco Inferno, man. I don't know what it was. I wanted to punch him every time I saw him come out on screen. I just did not like. It's not that I didn't like the guy. I just didn't like the gimmick. I couldn't stand him.
You know, another guy, correct me if I'm wrong. What about Ernest Miller? He was in WCW for a while.
The Cat, absolutely. Ernest Miller, shoot, I think just a few months ago I saw when he had the debut, I think it was 97 Slamboree, during the match with Glacier and Morris, obviously the late Canyon. And seeing his debut, if you search that on YouTube, like Glacier versus Mortis, and you find the 97 Slamboree when Ernest Miller debuts, when you see how he comes into that ring, you want to talk about someone who makes an impact? You watch the impact Ernest Miller makes when he kicks Mortis in the head. He literally took his head off.
Yeah, and I liked his whole gimmick when he came out. Hit my James Brown music, and he had that music. Da, 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 da.
You know? Oh, I love that stuff. I mean,
there are so many guys who contribute. Again, Bischoff, I don't have so much of a problem with him being on the list as I do with his position. If he would have been in the 40s, I would have had no problem with Bischoff being on there. But the one, like, you know, like we're talking about now, that really, I mean, it was like I finished my segment on WNL and I sat back and chilled like I usually do, listened to the rest of the show. And when I heard JJ say the Worm, Dennis Rodman, I had to actually temporarily stop my heart so I could go down to hell and get my jaw back, because that's how low it dropped.
Oh, wow.
I mean, come on. You know, Dennis Rodman, I don't know. That just kills me.
Well, I don't think anybody. I sure wasn't expecting to hear that name get put up there. I wonder what Jarrett thinks about that. Rodman's up two spots from him. But I don't know. There seems to be quite a few wrestling lists that come out. You know, some of them, you know, they're pretty good. This one, I would say there are some good placements. A few people who were left off of it, I'm not happy with. A few people who are on it, I'm not happy with. I think the top fives, it's okay apart from Nash. I think what JJ said, I would have probably swapped him with Savage at number nine. I was fine with Goldberg being at number four. I mean, I know JJ wasn't too happy about that, but if you think about it, as from what I've seen, you know, of all the guys in WCW who really got that run and, you know, really, you know, were someone you could kind of feel was synonymous with WCW, I would say Goldberg was probably it.
Yeah, but, you know, again, man, you know, definitely, I thoroughly enjoyed that, you know, breakdown of that list. I mean, it was broken down in such detail on WNL, and the guys went way over time to give their opinions on it. You know, I listened to it again on the archive myself because it was just so captivating. Definitely check out that archive. I mean, but, you know, those Bischoff and Rodman were the two that really just, you know, really killed me. The rest I could, you know, live with or without, but I mean, that was just, you know, crazy. But definitely check out that archive. L-Train, I'm going to wrap it up, brother. Thank you for calling, and I'll talk to you again real soon.
Hey, no problem, man. Have yourself a good night.
You too. All right, guys, that's going to do it for the phone calls tonight. That's going to do it for the show. I'm going to wrap things up, wipe my hands of it, get ready to go to sleep, and be sure, and this is very important that you listen to me, to tune in to the rest of the programming here on the SNS Radio Network, the midweek with the Elite Force podcast should be up either by now or tomorrow at the latest. This Friday, Unplugged is on hiatus for the moment. JJ Sexay is going to revamp the show, but I'm sure he'll be back as soon as he can. So this Friday night, but check out SmackDown. Come hang out and chat. We're always here. Over the weekend, check out all the podcasts and the open book with the sensational Sean should be back this week. Sean is feeling better, and Sean is rather disappointed in the Avengers movie. Really, Sean? Really? That is an archive that I do not intend to miss, because I'd like to know exactly what problem Sean has with this movie. So, I mean, that's going to be interesting. Over the weekend, Beyond the Bell with Sean Beckerman. Of course, the Elite Force podcast again with William Walkie Walker and Phil Mind White Morris. And Monday night, you can look forward to Raw. Because, and this is very important, mark your calendars, sync your BlackBerries, your Androids, your iPhones, whatever have you. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a stranger, tell anyone. Wrestling News Live this coming week will officially be moving to its new time slot at Tuesday nights. Yes, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, I believe 8 p.m. Central. And it's the beginning of a new era. Monday night has tapped out. It's submitted. It's been dominated. It's been conquered. And now, Wrestling News Live moves to Tuesday nights every single week. And we will own Tuesday night yet again. with J.J. Sexay and the outlaw of the IWC, the veteran of the game, the grandfather of wrestling radio, the Trey Dog, 17 years in the business, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't you dare forget, because if you do, I will come after you. With that being said, I'll be back next Wednesday night for the Pro Wrestling Rewind, same bat time, same bat channel, right here at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, and who knows, maybe The Rock, I mean, not The Rock, The Power will bring it again via satellite next week. But if not, I will be here to entertain you as only I can, which is poorly. I am the Bronx Father. This has been the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network. Thank you for listening. Good night. I'm out.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Way to the dawn of the light, wind will blow into your face as the years pass you by. Hear this voice from deep inside, it's the call.